Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Afa nadribu ankum zikra safhan an kuntum qawman musrifin. There is a thing like istifame inkari. And one is istifame taqridi. So this is istifame inkari. Allah Ta'ala is posing a question. Like, this question sometimes is not meant for you to say yes or no. I ask you, don't you have brains? So, the response is not supposed to be, yeah, I have brains. In other words, it's a question, but the question is aimed at conveying a message. Use your brains, but it is given in a different format. Instead of saying use your brains, I say don't you have brains? So the same in Arabic, every language will have its own terminology, own expressions, idiomatic expressions. Every language will have it different. So Allah Ta'ala poses a question, فَنَضْرِبُ عَنْكُمُ الذِّكَرَ صَفْحًا أَنْ كُنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفِينَ. We turn away this whole process of advising, admonition, just because you are transgressing beyond bounds. Otherwise, whether you are transgressing or not, you are going to continue advising. So that is the style of a Nabi, whether people take to him or not, take to him immediately or take to him after time. The Nabi has got a mission. And the mission is to convey the word. So he will continue. Untiring, unrelenting, he will go on. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, he had stood up in the defense of the truth, in the protection, the saving of the truth, he had stood up. Like you see in the Battle of Badr, Abu Talha radiallahu anhu has stood up as a human defense, a human shield for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, this shielding the truth, protecting the truth, you will get people standing up for it. One is that class of people that will be fighting for it, one is the class of people that will be shielding. So both are needed, one is to shield, and one is to fight. Man going out in war, he doesn't only need a sword, he needs a sword and he needs a shield. So someone is shielding while someone is fighting. So both are required. Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah is shielding the truth. Whatever fitna had occurred in his time, so the fitnas that will be of two types. Sometimes there will be challenge within the camp. In the own home, there is a challenge. In the home of Islam, there is a challenge. And sometimes there is a challenge out of the camp. So, the challenge that is out of the camp is easier. Because, you know, one common enemy, you have to go for it. But the challenge that is within the home is very difficult. You see, people think it's better I die. When they hear of a challenge within the home, it becomes so difficult. Just to give you one small story of how it happens. Nice person, respectable person, and then his daughter went off the course, right? So as she's gone off the course, now she's got about 3-4 boyfriends. And as she's got these 3-4 boyfriends, then one of them wanted her to snap herself. So she snapped herself, let's make it a little bit more striking. Let's make it more naked. So half naked pictures she's given. And then some fight took place, some misunderstanding, and this person sent out her pictures throughout the world. So the man says, hey, now, I can't live, man. How can I live? My daughter, this is what happened to her. And what do I do with myself? So there is a fitna, and that fitna, the challenge is within the home. And that's that which is within the home, it's more difficult. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, being our Muallim, our teacher, our leader, our Nabi and Rasul, so he showed us a solution for every situation. Not just one solution. One is an external enemy, and one is the enemy within, and how do you deal with it? What do you do? So Imam Ahmad Rahmatullah Alayhi had to stand very firmly. He was lashed, was beaten, was imprisoned, everything happened. But he stood, and he stood very, very firmly. And when that person stands firmly, then Allah Ta'ala supports him in different ways. Right? Do this, do this. Now, he's languishing in prison, just been admitted into prison. One of the prisoners meets Imam Ahmad, he recognized him, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayh. And he says, you see, they have imprisoned me over and over again. Umpteen times I'm languishing in prison, once and twice and the third time and the fourth time. They've been whipping me, lashing me, and all type of torture was being meted out to me. But this did not divert me from my crime. All the wrong atrocities that I was doing, and then they were throwing me into prison. But their torture, their punishment, their severity did not stop me from continuing my crime. So I'm a criminal, I admit I'm a criminal, but they want to be hard and harsh on me, then they won't come right. Now he's advising Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah. He says, see, I've been standing in the defense of crime, of wrong, of transgression, and all their beating did not deter me. And you standing for the defense of the truth. So their criticism, their hitting, their beating, they're causing you suffering. That mustn't deter you, your cause. Remain firm. So it's a challenge within the home, within the house. Now, when there's a challenge within the house, then it's quite difficult to put up with. How do you do? What do you do? So amongst the things that we are supposed to be doing, when this is the type of situation, the circumstance that is prevalent, then Hadith says, Amlik alayka lisana, keep quiet. Control, you be in control of your tongue. One is the tongue controls you, and one is you in control. Right? One is money controls you, and one is you control wealth, right? So it's some adjustments that you have to make. When the wealth is controlling you, then it will decide for you. Go for this, don't go for that, right? Go for that financing, and you don't have to go on time for namaz, because it's not making business sense. So you have one situation where the money begins to command you and control you, when you've been consumed, right? And the other is where you're in control. No, you're not my boss, I'm the boss. So I will give the instructions. There's a thing that's going on presently, and they say, don't be judgmental, right? Azaji Rahmatullah gave one story. Says one Juma, and people are walking out of the Jama Masjid in Delhi. On the right side, away from the traffic, one person is seated there, and he's saying something to himself. He says, tu mera khuda nahi, main tera gulam nahi, to phir main aapki baat ko kyun manu? You're not my God, nor am I your servant, then why should I listen to you? Now people are walking past, and kafir ho gaya, became kafir, became mushrik. What is this mushrik doing in the masjid? All the type of comments they are passing against him. One person from the crowd, he turns around, he says, Rahim se poochte wo kisse baat kar rahe hai? Ask him, who is he talking to? So, asked him, says, afsos, pure Delhi mein ek hi hoshiyar aadmi aaya. In the whole Delhi, there's just one intelligent person. I've been addressing myself. My temptations are telling me to do this wrong, whatever it is. And I'm telling my temptations that you're not my boss. And you can't dictate to me. I'm not your slave, you're not my God, I'm not your slave, why must I listen to you? So in this type of cases, yes, you're not going to be judgmental. But somebody shaving his beard, say, hey, don't be judgmental now, he must be got a very good heart. Then you're going to be judgmental and say he's a gunegar, wrong. He's sipping wine, so you're not going to say, hey, don't be judgmental. It appears, apparently he's wrong, so we'll say it is wrong. Otherwise there'll be no system. Everyone will say, no, don't be judgmental, don't be judgmental. So sometimes we learn words, but we don't understand the implications of the word. The simple thing is, person comes for a proposal to your home, right? So don't you make some homework about the person that's coming in. If someone says, don't be judgmental, very, very good boy now, don't be judgmental, will you listen to his bayan? You're going to listen to his bayan, you're going to get impressed. But it's my daughter, I need to take care. It's my duty, Allah Pak has kept her in my custody, so I am responsible for her, so I need to make the proper homework before I release my daughter. I can't just send it to anybody and everybody, saying don't be judgmental. So sometimes we use these type of terms, but we don't realize the implications that come with the terms. So the work of the da'i is to continue. Carry on doing your work. One person said to his friend, see, I advise this person here over 100 times. He said, wabhaji, baat tum manta hi nahi. Ab tum mein chod dunga, usko kuch nahi kehta. I advised him over 100 times, now I'm not going to tell him anything. So many times, I'm breaking my head with him, you know. Hitting against a wall here. Not getting anything out of it. Kya fayda? What's the fayda? So his friend, see, it's a blessing to have good friends. That good friend will tell you what is right and wrong. But the other friend will be just there for a joyride. Seeing good things happening, you praising him, so he'll be around. He's not going to tell you what is good, what is not good. But if it's a good friend, it's a sincere friend, he'll tell you what is right, what is not right. Tell you exactly. You may feel bad, but afterwards you will thank him, no, he at least guided me. So he did it in his own style, but he guided me to the right. So he bounced it off his friend, you know, I corrected this person over 100 times, but he's not listening. Don't take drugs. Taking this thing is the wrong thing. But he to manta hi nahi, kisi ki baat ko sunta nahi. He's not listening to anybody. So the friend tells him, hey, you doing good work and he's doing wrong work. He's doing wrong. He's doing filthy work. He's doing evil work. But he's so firm on the evil, he doesn't want to give it off. He doesn't want to relinquish the wrong. Then why are you relinquishing the good? He is not detaching himself from the evil that he's doing. Although he's got a constant reminder, then why must you relinquish and detach yourself from the good? Isn't that a lesson for you? That he, in spite of the wrong that he is, he's still steadfast on that wrong. So isn't that a lesson for you, that you should not then give up the good that you're doing? Imagine that wrong was supposed to be left, but he's so firm on that. And the right was supposed to be constant and consistent, so why should you give up? Keep on trying. So mashallah, jazakallah for that. You see, it's like you're practicing archery. So you go on practicing. One day you'll get the bullseye. You'll say, I tried, 10 arrows I wasted, and I'm not going to forget it, I'm not going to do it again. You'll keep trying, that practicing will continue, one day you'll get it right. So exactly the same, we carry on. Whether it's our near and dear ones, whether they are people not near and dear to us, but we will try it according to our capacity, according to our means, according to our strength, we will try. We will not say, no, I can't manage anything. Yes, I can't do anything. It's Allah Ta'ala that will do. But that mustn't stop us from trying, continuously trying. The person that will turn the heart is Muqallibul Qulub. Allah Ta'ala is the turn of the heart. Yes, you must put the procedure in place. Carry on doing the work. When is it going to happen? How is it going to happen? That leave it to Allah Ta'ala. You don't get too involved in that much. Now, for the 101th time, then he explains by leave out the drug habit. And he just gave it up. So now he looked at it differently. Now he had the trust in Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala karne wali zaat hai. Now when he looked at it from a different perspective and he continued, now the man just gave it up. But had he left that and said, oh, what's the use of advising this person here? He would have lost out, that person would have lost out. So your work is continue, just carry on. No matter where the child is going, how he's going, but your work is to continue advising him, admonishing him. Your own hidayat is not in your hand, let alone the next person's hidayat, you carry on your good work. Sometimes, if you retrospect, you'll find there's a flaw perhaps in your intention. Perhaps there's a flaw in your approach. So you correct yourself and carry on the work. Don't leave out trying. This whole surah, Surah Zukhruf, it's got some very important points with respect to da'wah. Very important points. This whole surah starts off and then it goes on to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then it is showing now what was the time, the pagans, what was their style. The pagans had one thing in their mind, that وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا كَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ آثَارِ مُهْتَدُونَ. We found our ancestors on a certain style. So we're going on our ancestral worship. Whatever they were doing, we're just going with that. Going with the flow. We can't deviate from our ancestral worship. So that was their style. That was their thinking. So the Quran admonishes this class of people that have become adamant as well. The Quran Sharif doesn't say, no, alright, they're so adamant, they're so stubborn, so leave them. So the Quran is addressing them, is speaking to them. He said, alright, you people are talking about ancestral worship. Then who's your ancestor? Who do you speak about with high esteem and respect? Who is your undisputed ancestor? Obviously, the Arabs, the undisputed ancestor is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Everybody takes pride in saying, now, I am attributed to Ibrahim alayhi salam. So I come from that lineage. So every Arab is very proud about this. If you're proud about this personality, then what was his take in this whole matter? What was his take? What was his style? So his style was, إِذْ قَالْ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ. He preached them, and he spoke to them, and when he brought it to them, and they remained firm in their ways, they said, no, I got nothing to do with you. I break away from you. So he broke away from the father and the ancestral worship. So if you're going by the ways of the ancestor, so look at your undisputed ancestor, that was Ibrahim alayhi salam. He broke away from ancestry. When he saw them deviated, he saw them moved away from the cause, so he broke away from them. Because the ancestor is not the object of worship. It is Allah Ta'ala that is supposed to be worshipped. And they made this ancestry the object of worship. So you shifted the goalpost. The whole objective you have changed. What you're supposed to be worshipping and what you are worshipping is poles apart. You're supposed to be worshipping Allah Ta'ala. Now you made that ancestry the thing, the object of your worship. So when he realized, when he saw this, he said, Innani bara'um, I'm clear. I got nothing to do with you. Your worship, your styles, your rituals, your customs, I break away from all this. Now presently what is going on is we want to play a balancing game. Little bit, listen to this person, listen to this person as well, listen, you know, just be in between. So this balancing can happen in some places, not everywhere. Some places the balancing can work. Right? They gave you achar, they gave you rice, and they gave you curry, so you're going to balance everything out, right? And then you'll eat. So in that meal of yours, you can balance it. Proportionately, you'll have some achar. You can't have an overload of achar and little khichdi. So you'll balance the whole thing out. Proportionately to the rice, you'll have the curry, khichdi and achar, everything you'll have. You'll balance it out. But this balancing happens in some places, and it's going to be a disgrace in many other places. Now, for example, someone is talking of gender equality, right? Just for example. And you have to balance the whole thing out. So you ask him what you are. So you have to balance yourself. I'm not a man. Really, I'm not a man. But I'm not a woman as well. You know. So he's balancing it out. I ask you, this standard, is it acceptable? No person that is in the right frame of mind would say, I'm accepting this. You know, I'm a man. And he's proud to say, someone challenges it, hey, you're not mistaken. You don't ever say that. He will feel personal about that. If someone tries to make him feel balanced, you know, so-called diplomacy uses its use on him. I'm a man, and I'm 100% about it. If you are doubtful about yourself, you get yourself checked up. But myself, I'm confident about it. So he doesn't want to be in that balancing state. One guest came here, you know. So he asked me, but Mala, what's the need of you keeping a beard? He spoke a little bit in a ridicule way. You know. Someone asks in a nice, respectable way, you answer differently. But if someone is ridiculing, then you speak differently, right? And he's clean shaven and says, what is beard all about? So I told him, you know, I'm very confident that I'm a man. So you say, he's telling me, are you casting aspersions, huh? So well, you saying that? I'm absolutely certain about it, I'm a man. Maybe you don't know where you stand. Man, woman, shaving, not shaving. So you know where you stand, but I'm absolutely confident about I'm being a man. So if you don't know where you stand, now you have to play in between man sometimes, sometimes woman. So you can carry on that way, but you don't force me to take you, to move on your path. So this balancing act can work in some places. In some places it can't work. It works where it works. It works in your own territory, in your own land, in within your parameters, it works. When it relates to your personal self, it works. Can you wear this kurta or that kurta? Well, both are mine. I got the option, I got the choice to wear this one or that one. It's mine. I can do whatever. I wear this or wear that. So, within your own parameters, you can balance. Wear this topi or wear another topi, it's my own, I can do it, I can balance it up. Wear this one today, tomorrow I can wear another one. Both, I'm using both, so I'm keeping both the clothing happy. I'm balancing the both. Eat here or eat here, I'm balancing the both. So he can balance within his own rights, he can balance. He can make himself happy within his own rights, he can make people happy. That is, Masir Khan Sabram, he told me once, when he was much younger, and he had to go out in Jamaat, you know. So now the place that he's going to make Gush, etc., there's five of his relatives going to one street, one relative is there, second street is another relative there, third street is another relative there. So now, each connection's home that he's going to, they say, Hamari ha khana hai, going to eat at my place. Next one says, my place. Third one says, next, my place. Now the Jamaat mentality is such, keep everybody happy. Balance it, keep it everybody happy. Well, that's the Jamaat mentality. And Mullah understands the delicate nature. But he also knows that he's only got one stomach, right? So he says to that one cousin, see, I'm going to eat at your place at this time. But the condition is nobody must know that I came to eat at your place at 9 o'clock, for example, right? The next cousin will say to him, you see, I'm coming to eat at your place at 11 o'clock, but the same condition that nobody must get to know that I came to eat at your place. If you're going to say that our connection is closed up, terminated. So far, they cover all the five. And see, it's through so much of walking that all the food is to be digested. So within your own rights, you can't balance it. Within your own rights, your own parameters, you can do it. But it belongs to someone else. Islam belongs to Allah Ta'ala. You can't play a balancing act in someone else's rights, in someone else's territory. You can't play a balancing game. It's his right. It's a territory of Allah Ta'ala. It's parameters that are divine. Then you can't say, no, let's listen to the nafs also, and let's listen to Allah Ta'ala also. A little bit the nafs, and a little bit Allah Ta'ala. Let's play a balancing game. So let's go into a corporate now. We're working in a corporate now. You know, it's the 21st century that we are living in. So, a little bit integration, a little bit segregation, all right, all It's a mixed baggage you have got now. How life will can continue? How will life continue? So let's mix it up. No. We don't mix it up. We don't mix it up. As far as possible, we don't mix it up. Sometimes it is excruciating circumstances, then it's different. It's an exception to the rule. You're queuing up to jump the plane. So if the queue is going to be a man, it's going to be a woman, what can you do? You need to go for Hajj, the woman before you or behind you. So you're going to be mixed up a little bit. Or you're going into a shopping place, there's going to be some mix up. But in that as well, you will try to guard yourself and protect yourself to the best of your ability. If that woman that is in front of you, she wants to get into a cool conversation and say, "Ma'am, sorry, a little bit in my own world now. Just leave it to myself. I got my own problems." You can excuse yourself. "I got my own problems." You don't have to say, "My deen instructs me not to talk to you casually." You don't tell all that. "I got my own problems, you know. And because I've got my own problems, just leave me, please, sorry." So they won't trouble you. But now you say, "No, balance it a little bit, talk a little bit." So you will want to save yourself, then talk a little bit. And then after you're talking, then she says, "All right, let's shake hands. Can I have your name and your WhatsApp and all that?" And then you're exchanging photos and whatever else. And one thing leads to the other. Then where you end up, there is no more balance then. There's an imbalance after that. That balance is finished now. That's an imbalance. Because that woman doesn't know how to balance herself. She's torn between husband and the boyfriend. So won't it be an imbalance? So, to the best of your ability, then you will guard yourself. Then you are not going to play an imbalanced game. No balancing game. Whichever the environment doesn't rule your life. So, innani bara'um mimma ta'budun. The second thing that you learn, that Ibrahim al-Islam announced it. See? And when he saw that his people had taken a different route, so he didn't keep it concealed. His faith, he didn't keep it concealed. He announced it. Innani bara'um mimma ta'budun. I'm clear of you people. I got nothing to do with you. Now that happens in day-to-day life as well. If your friend, for example, is joined up with some terrorist movement, right? The rebel movement is a terrorist movement. I ask you, are you going to be joining up with them? For whatever it costs, are you going to be joining up with them? They will implicate you on account of association. You'll be implicated because of association. Say, you also are part of the terrorist movement, so you're implicated. We are arresting you. So they're arresting you on account of what? On account of association. So Ibrahim al-Islam made it known, I don't want to be arrested by Allah Ta'ala. So I'm on his side, I've cleared myself. If there's a terrorist organization, and there's a law abiding, you will want to be on the law abiding. The reason is obvious. You don't want to be implicated because of association. So the same will happen in deen, that on account of association, you can be implicated. See, Ibrahim says, "I don't want to be implicated. In the presence of Allah Ta'ala, in his law, in his court, I don't want to be implicated. I have got nothing to do with you. You're going your way, and I'm taking my way. Innani bara'um mimma ta'bud." You see that? Tawheed, the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. Right? And in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, you're going to be so firm that you're not going to play a balancing game. Sometimes we hear these type of terms, you know, judgmental, just balance yourself, a moderate Islam. You hear all these words here, and then you are overawed with these words. Or you don't understand the ramifications, you don't understand the implications. So you don't make your own conclusions till you don't find out. You remain firm, glued to your ways. These foreign and alien thoughts that are coming across, concepts, you keep them on the side. Until you haven't seen someone that is very well understanding his deen, he doesn't compromise, he's very firm in his deen. You haven't explained, you haven't understood it from him. You don't compromise your deen. Deen is not a thing to be experimented. It's not a thing to experiment. You keep away from it. So at any given time, you're going to be looking after your وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ يُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah Pak is constantly warning you, just be on your guard. Be safe. You will be on your guard. That's why the righteous of the past, they would see many a time, many situations, in order to be on the right, we have to give up some permissible things as well. It's of a permissible nature, but we have to give up that thing of a permissible nature in order to be safe. It was a thing that was of a permissible nature, but we have to give it up just to keep our deen protected and safe. So sometimes, in the process of preserving your deen, you may have to give up something that is even permissible. For example, I want to talk to this uncle, right? So I go and talk to him. But in the back of my mind, I know, if I'm going to talk to him, then the discussion is going to lead to ghibat. So I will just make my mulaqat very brief. Assalamu alaikum, chacha, I just thought I'll meet you for a minute, I'm quite busy, maaf for that, and I'll leave. Because I know, if I'm going to continue this discussion, then it is his habit that he will lead me to some ghibat. So I won't engage. Somebody is calling me for a dawat after Isha, right? I know that Isha, after Isha dawat, will only start off at about 9 o'clock and end up at about 12 o'clock, and the chances for me missing out by Fajr is great. So the dawat is a permissible thing, in fact a mustahab thing, right? A Muslim invites you that you accept his dawat. But because of this dawat, permissible nature, this thing is going to lead you to something that is impermissible and haram. He says, no, bhai, I'm sorry, I don't go out. After Isha, I don't go out. See, why? You under your wife's instruction, yeah, my wife is too cheeky. It's alright, you may say your wife is cheeky, it's alright. But you saved your deen, it's alright. Now just to please him, where's the sense? You pleased him, but you displeased Allah Ta'ala. The cause of the week, someone is telling me, you know, it's a bargain here, I can make some good money for myself. So I said, no, I don't dispute it that you can make good money. But say now, you know, in this whole exercise, say, as you are saying, you can make a clean 5 million, right? But I say to him, you're going to get this 5 million, but the element of Allah Ta'ala being displeased, is it present? Said, yeah, it's there. So I said, what's the use of that 5 million when your heart is going to be feeling uncomfortable? Allah Pak perhaps doesn't like this. Is there going to be any good in that money? Allah Pak doesn't like it. Right? He doesn't like it. What's the good in the 5 million? Like, you know, the wife prepared the best food and the husband pulls up his face. I don't like the food. So the wife, what does she say? I wasted my whole day. So when Allah Pak is not happy with that money, then what's the good of that money? Iske andar kisi kisam ki koi bhalai hai uske andar, koi achhai hai uske andar, is there any good in it? Allah Pak is not pleased. What's the good of it? If Allah Pak is not pleased with it, then with that money, will it lead you to anything good? He's not happy with it. He's rejected it. He's not happy about it. So will that inspire you, encourage you, motivate you? Can't motivate you. Because Allah Pak is not with that wealth. So this is the first thing, you make your stance clear, that I'm with you or not you, with you. Yeah. Whether the person likes it or doesn't like it, that is his business. Because you need to please the person, but at the expense of your deen, is it making sense? Please the person, but at the expense of your deen, is it the right thing? Well, what have you earned? When you have displeased Allah Ta'ala, then what have you earned? Koi cheez haath mein aayi. Nothing came to you. You did the worst thing. That you got the wealth, you got the material, but at the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. So this is going to bring up a disaster in your home. In your home, in your business, in your children, something you're going to get into problem just now. So that's the second thing. Again, the next verse, he says, وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِيمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي أَقِبِهِ. So the Arab is shown that if you follow Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he parted away from ancestral custom, right? He came out of Tawheed. The message of every Rabi was one and the same, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاطِيُونَ. You fear Allah Ta'ala, take care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and follow the Nabi. Take care of Allah Ta'ala and follow the Nabi. That is the essence of the message of every Nabi. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. I am the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala and I am conveying to you the message of Allah Ta'ala. So recognize Allah Ta'ala and follow me. Recognize Allah Ta'ala and follow me. That's the message. So be concerned, recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognize who He is, and then follow me. That is the essence of the message of every Nabi. then that message of the Nabi is so important. جَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي أَقِبِهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. To the extent of the importance of something, you leave behind a legacy. Don't you leave behind a legacy? How important it is, then you leave it. That it must continue with the people that will succeed you. It must continue for your children, etc. It's work for them as well. So that is, to the extent of how important that thing is, you will leave a legacy of the same stuff for your children to come, for the generations to come. So the most important thing in the life of a Muslim, then even more important in the life of a Nabi, is the mission that I came with, that must continue with my children. So he made it a point, جَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً. Allah didn't say that, you know, he left out investments for his children, grandchildren as well. The properties that he bought, and what was business he struck, you know. So he left it for his children. Said, this tawheed, this same message, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُونَ. That recognize Allah Ta'ala and follow the Rasul. Recognize Allah Ta'ala and follow the Rasul. This is the legacy of the Rabbi. He left it. He made a point. Okay, this is the standard that you're going to maintain. وَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ. Whether it was Ibrahim alayhi salam or his grandchild, Yaqub alayhi salam, both left the same legacy. We make it a point that this is the standard that I kept and maintained with the grace of Allah Ta'ala. And I command you, now that I'm parting, I command you that you continue with this. So after 2000 years, Allah Ta'ala reveals his verse to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that this was the legacy that he left behind. So this was the most important thing. He stood for it and he died for it. He lived for it and he died for the same. He worked for it in life and he worked for the same thing at the time of his death. This is what I live for, this is what I die for. So I am keeping this as a legacy for my generations to come. وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي أَقِبِهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Now, you understood Tawheed, you understood the stance of a Nabi, right? فَنَدْرِبُ عَنْكُمُ ذِكْرِ. He'll continue Dawat, encouraging. And I say everybody's got a capacity. Everybody will work according to his capacity. Right? Someone has got a ship who will take 10,000 passengers. Someone has got an aeroplane, max perhaps will take about 400 passengers. Right? I don't know if there's a plane that can carry 700 passengers. I know 400, 300, but 700 I haven't heard of. Right? So maximum you will carry that amount of passengers, right? You got a horse and trailer, you'll carry that amount. You got a hayes, that amount. And you got a scooter, that amount. According to your capacity, you will take. You will encourage yourself. The least is at least, you will encourage those people that come under your influence. You must encourage them. People that come directly under your influence, your children. Or those that are working for you, people that are working for you, then you encourage them. Namaz time, this is Ramadan, this is your zakat. You will encourage them. And you will make a provision for them to read the namaz as well. You can't read your namaz and you can't look at the business as well. So for that namaz time, you'll give him a slot. You close the business, you'll give him a slot, you go for your namaz. He's coming under your influence. You're extracting work out of him. So then can't you, you are telling him what to do, about your material. Then about his future, aren't you concerned? Are you so self-centered and so narrow that you are totally disconcerned about his future, only worried about your business, about your comfort, and his akhirat is getting destroyed and you're not concerned about it at all? Are you so careless? Are you so self-centered? So those that will come under your influence, you will talk to them. Whether it's your customer, whether it's your worker, whether it's your neighbor, whether it is someone that comes under your influence, but you will tell, keep on admonishing them. Then the second is, then you remain firm. Now the third is coming again under the same surah. So what will you get at the end of this whole exercise? What do you get? So Allah Ta'ala says, Al-akhillahu yawma idhim ba'dhum li ba'din aduun illa al-muttaqeen. Ya ibadi la khawfun alaykum al-yawma wa la antum tahzanun. Allah Ta'ala says that friends on that day, see, the culmination of our efforts is the dying point. That's the dying point. And that is going to be reading out our results. At the moment you are in touch with death, your results are shown to you straight away. And death is so close. Your eyes just closed, and you have seen your abode straight. Eyes closed, and immediately with your eyes closing, there your results are placed before you, and you're seeing your abode, either Jannat or Jahannam, straight. So it's so close, it's so imminent, it's so clear. So Allah Ta'ala says about this class of people, أَلَخِلَّاوْ يَوْمَ إِذِنْ بَعْضٌ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ. All other friendship will all turn out to be sabr on that day. You know, business partner, friend partner, whatever other partner we had. Every relationship will be severed. The friend will be a foe now. أَلَخِلَّاوْ يَوْمَ إِذِنْ بَعْضٌ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ. So irrespective of the relationship, Allah Pak says the friend will be a foe. How are you talking to him, but he doesn't want to see you? Hadith says that on the day of Qiyamah, the son will know that his father is around, but he'll escape his father because he's afraid that his father may just pull something away from him. He needs it himself. He needs the rewards and he needs the merit himself to be ushered into Jannah. And he's afraid now that his father may pull away some of his rewards. He may ask something. And he's not in a position to relinquish anything. So the whole friendship will break up. So this is the point of the end. Point of your last point. When it's your last point, then what level of preparation? So Allah says that all the friendship will break up. But the friendship that will remain is the friendship of the righteous. إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Because your relationship was for the right reasons. When your relationship and your friendship was for the right reasons, so therefore the relationship will continue. It was for Allah Ta'ala. It wasn't for material. If it was for material perishes. Any type of material you can show and you can think of, it must perish. So if your relationship was based on material, then the relationship also will end. If the relationship was for some material cause, then that relationship must end. You got married for the wealth, right? You got married for her wealth. When the wealth gone, then marriage is gone. Okay, kya faida? She's such a fat and obese woman now. What am I going to get out of this whole thing? But I know I'm getting married, though she's fat and obese, but I know the millions that are with her, you see. So, I got that in mind, then I get into this relationship. But I'm not going to get anything out of it. Kya faida? Kya rakha hua iske andar? One acquaintance, not a friend, acquaintance. So, he went to settle in London, in 1960s, you know, when Indians were still just settling in London. So he went there. So he's thinking, I must start off life here now. How must I start off life? In an easy, legal way. So he saw some papers and all that. He saw an old widow, English woman, nearly about 85, 88, 90. So he proposed to her, for her for marriage. I love you and all that. Anyway, he got married to her. Now, he cashed in heavy now. She died. After about 2 years, she died. So she left a big lodge, so much of money and all that. In the next 2 months, he called 100 of his connections from India. So you must know what you want to get out of the whole thing. If you want to get something out of it, the relationship is worth it. But you're not going to get anything out of it. Kya faida? So this relationship that is for worldly reasons, it ends up abruptly, straight away. Now you're going to see it straight, that end, you had that friendship, but that friendship turned out to be an enemy. It's a hatred now. Before it's a friendship, now it's a hatred. But if it was for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Allah Ta'ala is baqi, your relationship is baqi. Allah Ta'ala is perpetual, your relationship is perpetual. إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. In the hadith it is reported that relationship that you had for the pious, for the righteous, whether it was with an ustad, whether it was with a sheikh, whether it was with buzrug, whoever, jamaat, sati, all the relationship was for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, nothing else. No material. It was just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So, two had that type of relationship, but for only based on deen. Nothing else. So, one sati passed away. Ibn Abi Hatim, rahmatullahi, reports this hadith. So, the one sati passed away. When he passed away, so, as he comes into the grave and he sees now all the delights and all the beauty that Allah has got in store for him. So he says to Allah, you know Allah, in this world I had a friend. And that friend of mine used to remind me about you, that I must be obedient to you, listen to Allah Ta'ala, come for namaz, etc. And he would encourage me on doing more good works, read Quran Sharif, see that your zakat is paid on time, Ramadan is coming, see that you plan your time, you program your time, so there's enough time for you to complete the Quran Sharif, zikr, tilawat, namaz, you're doing everything properly. And he would also discourage me from the wrong, all the haram and the wrong, financing, living above your means, integrating women, freely mixing and all that. So all the wrong he used to discourage me, all the right he used to encourage me. And over and above all this, he used to remind me that one day I'll have to come face to face with my Creator. I'll have to render a detailed account of whatever I've done. And if I did well, then I'll be seen favorably by Allah Ta'ala. So all these were his words of wisdom that he imparted to me. And because of his constant encouraging, that today I'm seeing what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the blessings, I'm seeing the beauty, I'm seeing things like that is beyond my mind. It's mind-boggling, I can't understand. It's so great, so great. Beautiful, every day, and every moment, it's a new experience. It's a new pleasure. You're not getting bored. Here you're going to get bored after something, right? After some enjoyment, you get bored of it. Here it's, every moment is a new pleasure, new excitement, new experience, all the time. It's not just that one same text chocolate you're getting all the time. Every bite, it's a new flavor now. It's a new experience. One time it was a lunch bar, then it's a text, then it's an Aero chocolate. Every time it's different. A different experience all the time. No repeats. So he's lying in his grave, and he's telling Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah Ta'ala, you know that friend, he was a real friend. He was a great friend, he's an excellent person. So Allah Ta'ala, keep him straight, keep him, you know what he did for me, Allah Ta'ala, please keep him straight. Now from the grave you are getting a dua. Imagine, it's a grave dua, coming from the grave. Grave dua. Allah Ta'ala, keep him straight. Allah Ta'ala, keep him straight, just keep him straight. Until he sees the delight that you have shown me, all this good that you have shown me, because of his blessings. So keep him straight, keep him on the path, keep him right, right, that you can join us together and then he can also experience the good, the beauty, the delight that you have shown me. Just hold on now. If you only know what I'm going to give him, then you will also delight, you will get excited even more. If only you know what I'm going to give him, you won't cry then. Then the second sati, he passes away. When he passes away, Allah Pak unites both of them. Who is a doer? Allah Pak is a doer. What is impossible for Allah Ta'ala? Is there anything impossible for him? He gets his two people together. And then he says, alright, now you compliment, congratulate. Say, what a great sati you were. What a great friend you were. And what a great companion you were. How great of you. By the same token, there'll be two evil people. And one person, one sati passed away. So when the first sati passed away, so he says, he pleads to Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah Ta'ala, I had a friend in this world. You would always discourage me from good. Namaste, say, hey, you know, just few moments, at least that, you know, that soccer final now, you're not going to get it again. Namaste, you can read it again afterwards. But this soccer final, you know, the last goal, and what an exciting moment. This may not come again. Come after 1 year. You don't know, you will see the next year or not. Now you got it here, you know, Moko Hachmi Lavan. You know, you see this, you're not going to get it again. So he said, hey, you know. And you know, this business here, you just take it on, man. Only 1 year interest, after it will come free. Allah will make maaf, inshallah. So he is discouraging me all the time from your obedience. Anything that's to do with your obedience, he will discourage me. Live above your means, man. Enjoy yourself. After all, you're in this world here, yeah? It's a world of reality, so you must be real now, just enjoy yourself. So yeah, financing, haram, live above your means, right? Don't worry about your parents or too much, no. You can't. Now it's your life, your wife and your life. They have their innings, you have your innings, don't worry too much about them. What about you? You're not going to get stuck with them. What about you? So everything would discourage me. It would discourage me on your obedience. He would discourage me to the right. You must worry more about your wife and your children. What about your parents? They are expired now, they finish. Their days are numbered, don't worry about them. So everything that was in conformity with the nafs, and everything was conformity to your disobedience, he was taking me on that path. And he says, oh, Jannat and Jahannam, hey, don't want to get yourself stuck into this thing here, man. You won't be able to move in life. You won't be able to make any progress in life. You're going to get yourself stuck into this thing here. How are you going to move in life? And this may be just an imagination, you know, just to get you on right. It's just an illusion. So don't worry, don't get too carried away with these things here. So this was the type of talk that he used to give me. Who is saying the person is lying in the grave? So Allah Ta'ala, because of this person's discouraging, today I'm in Jahannam. I'm going through that agony, that pain, that difficulty, every moment, another type of agony, grief. I'm shouting away, nobody should listen to me. I'm crying all alone here. Nobody should support me from the right, from the left. The horror and the terror that I'm experiencing, like nothing. Every day I'm going through it. So Allah Ta'ala, you keep him astray as well. You keep him in error all the time. Like he kept me in error, keep him in error, Allah Ta'ala. Like he misguided me, you misguide him. Until he sees the terror and the horror that you have shown me, Allah Ta'ala. Allah says, yes, it's done. Like this is done, this is also done. Then the second Sati, he dies, and Allah Ta'ala joins both of them. And Allah says, now you speak of each other, curse each other. So what a terrible companion you were. What a terrible friend you were. What a terrible person you were. You brought me to this. So the blessings of the right company, right association, the right type of advice, where it leads you, eventually where it gets you, which point it gets you. Man may be sounding overbearing, right? Sometimes he's pushing too hard, right? Hey, you better get your namaz right, man. Your namaz not right. Sometimes you think, hey, who's this person to come and boss me around? Every time I see him, namaz, all the time. No other fikr in the world. He's pushing me. What he thinks of himself? So, boy, let that friend of yours be overbearing and pushing. But when you hit the grave and you see what Allah has given you, you say, hey, but you pushed me too less, man. A little bit more you should have pushed me. I should have gone even more further. So you only realize the benefit of that pushing, the benefit of him pushing you when you touch the grave. See the beauty. Al-akhillau yawma idhim ba'dhum li ba'din adun. Friends will be foes on that day. Illa al-muttaqeen. But the relationship that you had with the righteous, whether it was a jamaat companion, but it was only meant for the jamaat, only for deen. I wasn't using this for doing any business. Only for the sake of deen, that Allah joins you up like this. Allah pak tawfiq nasib.